The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 22nd through Sunday, July 28th, 2024. The commentary for July was written by Aaron Morey, an Episcopal priest and attorney who lives with many rescue pets in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, the commentary for Monday, July 22nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul is athirst for God. And by the way, it is on this day, Monday, July 22nd, that we commemorate the life of Saint Mary Magdalene. Here's the commentary. One of my favorite places in the world is the amusement park, Dollywood. I am charmed that it has a chapel, a chaplain, and Sunday services. And I have often dreamed of serving as its chaplain. Well, years ago, I took a break from rides and visited the chapel to pray. There was a book where people could write prayer requests, and when I read over them, I gasped. They were incredibly raw, written in children's handwriting, asking God to save the lives of sick grandparents and the relationships of hurting parents. It was devastating that in such a fun place, children carried such burdens. But I am glad there was a space for them to safely ask for an assurance of God's love and care. I was grateful I could pray for them. In my own experience, I remember what it was like to thirst for God's care. But to feel too sick from cancer treatment to focus on prayer, I was incredibly grateful for the prayers of others, lifting me up. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 42, verses 1 through 7. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 22nd, is who can you pray for today? The commentary for Tuesday, July 23rd, begins with a passage from Romans chapter 14, verse 8. If we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. I have spoken these words aloud many times during funerals. Preaching at funerals can be difficult because people from many different faith traditions are often present, and they are all seeking consolation. I always share what I believe to be true about the faith that lies in my Christian hope, that God is love, and so love is the force that orders and rules the universe. Once I officiated at a funeral and a wedding on the same day, and I decided also to preach that message at the wedding. That message was well received at both services, and I was left with an uncanny vision of the arc of human love in our lifetimes. Watching one married couple begin a life together, and one married couple coming to the end of theirs. Even if I am wrong about God, I will never regret serving love, because my heart tells me faith and love is never wasted. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. And they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, July 23rd, how can you experience living in God's precious love today, no matter what today looks like? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, July 24th. It begins with a very brief passage from Matthew 26, verse 66. He deserves death. When I was young, I loved attending Holy Week services. My family still jokes about the time my sister and I played Holy Thursday, washing each other's feet and giving each other communion with watered-down cranberry juice and white bread we had smashed flat and cut into circles. And even though the Passion Gospels on Palm Sunday and Good Friday were long, and I would get tired of standing during them, I realized something deep was happening in them. We read them in parts, and when it was our turn to read as a congregation, we would shout the chilling words of the people, things like, Crucify him, and He deserves death. I still hate how it feels to say those words, and they make me uncomfortably aware of how my choices and actions hurt others. I know that all too often I am sinning and selfishly crying out, Crucify him, he deserves death. It hurts to know this is how I treat Jesus instead of washing the feet of others as Jesus commanded me to do. Now I'm going to read this full gospel for this day from Matthew 26, verses 57 through 68. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside he sat with guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" And the moving forward question for this day is, when faced with the choice of death and hatred, or life and care, how can you ask God to help you make the right choice? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, July 25th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. James the Apostle. We begin with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 28. "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." I have had cats my whole adult life. At first I adopted them as strays and from shelters. Then I started fostering cats who had just given birth along with their newborn kittens. Fostering newborn kittens is a very time-consuming task, and the survival rate for kittens born in difficult circumstances can be heartbreaking. Plus, sending a kitten you bottle-fed to a new loving home is a truly bittersweet moment. Even though the bond of a cat gently sleeping in your lap can be fleeting, engaging in service to them is incredibly profound. I am grateful for this revelatory gift from God. I am grateful for the promise that God is creating a new heaven and a new earth, and I look forward to continuing to serve all of God's beloved creatures here on earth and in heaven. And I'm going to read from this gospel passage today, Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.' He said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father.' When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" The moving forward question for this Thursday: what would it feel like to surrender completely to God in this moment? Now let's look at the commentary for Friday, July 26th. It is on this day that we commemorate the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The commentary begins with a passage from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 13b. "The sun stopped in mid-heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day." In the book of Joshua, God pauses the sun's journey across the sky so that God's people miraculously have enough hours of daylight to win a decisive military battle. I may never have needed light to fight a war or seen the sun miraculously stop in the sky. I have witnessed a few astonishing eclipses, though. One occurred while I was recovering from cancer surgery. I wasn't well enough to do much besides sit in my yard, but I could do that and watch as the sky became so dark that the automatic lights across the street came on and my confused chickens ran into their coop. After it was over, I could register my church to be a collection site for the special glasses needed to see the eclipse and send them on to the next group of people to experience one. I am glad for this confluence of small miracles, timed and spaced in such a way that I could witness them in awe. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Joshua chapter 9, verse 22, through chapter 10, verse 15. Joshua summoned them and said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' while in fact you are living among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and some of you shall always be slaves, hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God has commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. So we were in great fear for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now we are in your hand. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." This is what we did for them. He saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. But on that day, Joshua made them hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, to continue to this day in the place that he should choose. When King Adoni-Zedek of Jerusalem heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he became greatly frightened, because Gibeon was a large city, like one of the royal cities, and was larger than Ai. And all its men were warriors. So King Adoni-Zedek of Jerusalem sent a message to King Hoham of Hebron, to King Piram of Jarmuth, to King Japhia of Lachish, and to King Debir of Eglon, saying, "Come up and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the Israelites." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and camped against Gibeon and made war against them. And the Gibeonites sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who live in the hill country are gathered against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the fighting force with him, all the mighty warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who inflicted a great slaughter on them at Gibeon, chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth-horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Maacah, as they fled before Israel while they were going down the slope of Beth-horon. The Lord threw down huge stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of hailstones than the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still in Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in mid-heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded a human voice, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, have you ever had an experience of being in a special moment with God when it felt like you were outside of space or time stood still? The commentary for Saturday, July 27th, begins with a passage from Psalm 55, verse 24a. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. The Domestic Violence Center, where I used to work, was scrupulously secular, and rightly so, because we serve people of all religions, including those who said they had no religion. But our clients were welcome to talk to us about anything they liked, and we would listen. I was struck by how often people wanted to talk to us about their spiritual lives. Sometimes they wanted to talk about how their faith had been something that helped them get through difficult times. Other times they spoke with distress about how they had once had deep spiritual lives, but now struggled with doubt and hoped this comfort would not always seem so far away. Sometimes they would blame themselves for what had happened to them and worry about guilt and judgment from God. Often, they would then realize that if they understood God to be a God of love, God would want them to be safe, and it wouldn't make sense for God to judge them for being hurt. I would remind them that hope and healing are always possible. I still preach this message today. Now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew for this day, chapter 27, verses 11 through 23. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." The moving forward question for this Saturday: do you ever feel too ashamed or guilty to bring your problems to God? How can you let go of this burden? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's turn to Sunday, July 28th, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 145, verse 17. "You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature." You've probably heard someone groan about how they are terrible at taking time for themselves or failing to really observe a Sabbath. I am guilty of this myself, but I don't find this a badge of honor or a sign that I work hard. I recognize it as a real moral failing. Aldo Leopold closes A Sand County Almanac, his pivotal book about ecology, by discussing our society's lack of an ethic regarding the natural world. He notes the temptation to take a functional view of nature, to merely see it for what it can provide us. He argues for the inherent value of nature itself and a reorienting of our thinking about it, noting recreational development is a job not of building roads into lovely country, but of building receptivity into the still unlovely human mind. This, then, is the purpose of recreation, of Sabbath. It is not for us to double down, capitalizing on what we are already doing. It is for us to be transformed by what is greater than ourselves. Now I'm going to read from Ephesians Chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.